Well, the events and circumstances surrounding the economy of America has shaken up just about everybody, and I think that includes everybody in Norton and everybody in this listening area, and so we just will address that today. And I'm sure there's some people thinking that maybe this is just a temporary glitch in what has otherwise been a great prosperous nation, and it's just a temporary thing, and this prosperity doctrine and the prosperity gospel is going to get back on track here soon as the minds of the economy and the minds of the government put together a plan that will right the ship. And I hope and pray that that happens, but I sincerely probably believe that it won't. And I think that God's judgment is falling on America. I really believe that the time for God's judgment to fall on America is now. Not that I wish for it to, not that I want for it to. I cry out for mercy for this nation. As you've heard in my prayer, I cry out for mercy for the people here in Norton County, in the state of Kansas, and in this nation, as you heard in my prayer. And Lord, I know that the hearts of these people are basically good, especially that most people have a basically a good moral fiber to them and a good moral outlook on life. They want to do the right thing. And yet I also realize that the signs of the times tell me that people have turned their back on God, that people have disregarded His word. And as a result of that, as we read through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, we understand that God's will for us is to fear the Lord, to fear Him, and to acknowledge Him in all our ways. And I don't see that happening in America. What I see happening is the days of Noah. And I see happening in America today a desire for people to live their own life the way they want to live it, that the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh has taken over the direction of their life. And they so have very little regard for God's will in their life. They have very little knowledge of His word. And so therefore they have very little knowledge of God's plan for their life. And because they don't read His word, they don't know what He says and how He thinks. So we're going to address some of those issues today, and I'm going to start off here in 2 Chronicles 6. If you have your Bible today, start off in 2 Chronicles 6. Just open your Bible to 2 Chronicles 6, and we're going to look at Solomon's prayer. And in a lot of ways, we're in a situation, the same type of situation that Solomon was in, and he's crying out for his nation. He's appealing to God for his nation, for his people. And we need to do that, Christians. If you're understanding what's going on in America today, if you have a heart for God's will for this great land, if you have a heart for God's will for this nation that says, in God we trust on the money, if you have a heart for this nation, you need to be on your knees in this time, not only because there's an election coming up in a couple of weeks, not only because this is a time of crossroads in our elected officials, but also just because the judgment of God and the economic tribulation, the economic chaos that's taken place in the last month or so has shown us how weak and vulnerable we really are here in America, that the things that we've trusted in, the things that we've put our hopes in, the things that we've, you might say, spent our lives working towards have vanished to some degree in just a short amount of time. And so God is saying to you, if you're out there today, God is saying to you, wake up, America. Wake up, church. Wake up. Wake up. It's time for you to awaken. It's time for you to cry out for mercy. And when the number of people that are crying out for mercy rises up to God, when the number of people that are crying out for mercy rises up and is a greater clamor in His ears and a greater noise in His ears than the people that are crying for change, then God is going to change in a way that suits Him, and God is going to show mercy on this nation. But when there is no move by His people, and there's no voice by His people to cry out for mercy, and there's no move or no voice from His people to change their behavior and to repent of their sin, because God's judgment always follows sin, God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. There's nothing that God can be mocked by, and that includes the United States of America. There's no country that can mock Him. There's no people that can mock Him. There's no individual that can mock Him. And God is true to His word. When sin takes over in a land, then God's judgment eventually will fall on that land. Well, Solomon is talking about his nation and he's appealing to the Lord in verse 26 of 2 Chronicles 6, and he's listing some things that he's saying, God, if these things happen, we want to turn and fear you. We want to turn away from our sin. We want to turn back to you and fear you. And he lists some things, some circumstances, some situations, and you might get the feeling here that Solomon is talking about America. You might get the feeling that he's talking about the United States right now in this time. And it has a familiar ring to it, as you might say, the 6 o'clock nightly news. But I'm going to finish up this discussion about Solomon's prayer by revealing what the Lord answered to Solomon. So this will be the answer to us. This will be the answer to us here in America, here at this late hour. This will be the answer that the Lord gives to us at this late hour. So in verse 26 of 2 Chronicles 6, Solomon says, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, and they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and thy people Israel. Indeed, teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. And so he's asking God to teach the people in the way that they should walk. And God does that. He wants to teach you, brothers and sisters. He says in Proverbs 1 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Americans, we've lost our fear of God. We've lost our fear. God wants us to have the knowledge not only of him, but knowledge of how to proceed in our daily walk here on this earth. He wants us to have the knowledge of how to proceed in our relationships with each other. And then later in Proverbs, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God wants us to have wisdom, which is the application of our knowledge. The application of our knowledge is wisdom, how to apply our knowledge so that we're wise in our dealings with each other, that we're wise in our dealings with God, that we're wise in our choices for our government institutions and for our elected leaders, that we're wise in our ways in which we handle our money. And when we have those things, knowledge and wisdom, then we can proceed through life without making the blunders and the mistakes that cause so much pain and cause so much disregard for God in our life. And so Solomon is saying, teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on their land. Then he goes on to say in verse 28, if there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, which is, you could say, famine and pestilence comes from the stock market crashing, or could be actual pestilence out in the fields, grasshoppers or whatever. If there is blight or mildew, if there is locust or grasshopper, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, and aren't we afraid, Americans, that our enemies are going to besiege us in our cities? And I see this on the horizon, that our enemies are looking at America right now, not just our enemies from within, the cell groups of terrorists, which we know are here, but the enemies from without, which are looking at America, and they see America in a weakened state. They see America without the resolve to defend our freedoms, possibly, and they see America that may lose its resolve to fight for freedom, the freedom to vote and fight for freedom, the freedom to take care of its citizens and to provide for its citizens. And so they see a weakened America, and so it gives our enemies inspiration to possibly say, well, maybe we can attack America, maybe we can take over America, maybe we can see this weakened enemy and somehow find a way to explore its vulnerabilities and take over. And so Solomon is saying, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer or supplication is made by any man or by all thy people Israel, each knowing his own affliction and his own pain, and spreading his hands toward this house, he was talking about the temple that was being dedicated there, spreading his hands toward this house, then he says, God, hear thou from heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render to each according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou alone dost know the hearts of the sons of men, and that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways as long as they live in the land which thou hast given to our fathers. And concerning the foreigner who is not from thy people Israel, when he comes from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy outstretched arm, when they come and pray towards this house, then hear thou from heaven, from thy dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to thee, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know thy name and fear thee. So he's saying, we need to take care of the foreigner. We need to treat the alien with respect. We need to give those who are destitute a helping hand. We need to give them a blanket, some food to eat, a place to sleep, because there are always foreigners coming into our land. And I'm saying to brothers and sisters that at this time there are going to be many people who are going to be thrown out of their houses, you might say bankrupt or taken out of their homes, and there will be people who are going to be losing their jobs. There are going to be people who are going to need a helping hand. There are going to be people who are going to need a lift. There are going to be people who are going to need to be taken in, be given food to eat, to given a blanket, to given a place to sleep. And so this is what God also is calling us to do, to take care of the foreigner and the alien in our land, and to give them a helping hand, and to help them to see that the church, the body of Christ, can raise up and offer a helping hand to people, that the church, the body of Christ, looks towards other people who are in less fortunate circumstances and can reach out their hand and give them a hand up, and maybe help them get started in a new life, in a new job, in a new house, in a new place. And this too will be one of the tasks and one of the opportunities that God will use to bring in the end time harvest. One of the opportunities that God will say, church, I'm giving you an opportunity to reach out to those who need a helping hand. And so therefore, when you treat the alien with respect and give the alien an opportunity, you will be reaching out to Jesus. Well, God answers Solomon's prayer, as we know in 2 Chronicles 14. In fact, let's start in 2 Chronicles 12. And God answers the prayers of Solomon, and he says here in chapter 7, verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people and my people who are called by my name, this is verse 14, and they should commit it to memory at this time. Commit it to memory, because this is an important scripture for us at this time. Verse 14, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. And so God says, there's a way that you can get my attention. God says, there's a way that I will forgive your sin, and there's a way that I will heal your land. And so we cry out for mercy, God. We ask you, Lord, to heal our land. We ask you to forgive our sin. And there's some things that God not going to overlook. There's some things that are going to bring judgment, and we need to turn from our sin. Homosexual marriage is one of them that's being pushed on America from every different front, from Massachusetts, from Connecticut, from California. I just pray right now that Proposition 8 in California that reestablishes marriage as a marriage between one man and one woman, that would go through. I just pray for that to go through, to help hold back this tidal wave of homosexual marriage as it attempts to sweep across the nation. I also pray, Lord God, that you would help us to overturn Roe v. Wade, that we can stop the abortions in this nation, that we can stop the slaughter of the innocents in this nation. And Lord, I just pray that you just give the church the strength and the desire and the passion to turn back from their wicked ways, to turn back and to be salt and light in this culture, to be salt and light in this culture, to turn back this culture from its wicked ways, and to speak the truth through the radio, through the TV, through Bible tracts, leaflets passed out, speak the truth in the coffee tables, in the workplaces, and over the lunch counters in the workplaces. Speak the truth about what is going on in America, why God's judgment is coming to America. And when we speak the truth, when we humble ourselves and we get rid of our pride and we humble ourselves and we speak the truth, then God will heal our land. He will hear our prayer. He will forgive our sin, and he will heal our land. Well, I'm going to offer up a couple of opportunities for us to be reassured. going to offer up a couple of scriptures here that we can be reassured that all is not lost. And some of you out there are saying, well, that's just old Jim gloom and doom out there. It's old Jim gloom and doom speaking his prophetic gloom on America. I wish that were so, friends. I wish that it was just me speaking this. I wish I were the only one. If I were, then you wouldn't have much to worry about, I guess. But there's many people, prophetic voices, and there's many people that God has put a burden on their heart, and God calls us to be sober-minded. He calls us to be alert. He calls us at this time to be ready. Be ready, just like the foolish virgins who weren't ready, and the wise virgins who were ready. They had their lamps trimmed in the 25th chapter of Matthew. They had the oil in the lamps, and they had the wicks trimmed, and they were ready because they knew Jesus was coming back. And I'm saying that's where we need to be. Brothers and sisters, we need to be ready for Jesus to come back. But I'm going to reassure you with a couple of scriptures here that makes you understand that if you are a believer, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God is your refuge, that He will take care of you no matter what. He promises that in His Word, that He will never forsake you or abandon you, and He promises that He will take care of you, and so I expect Him to take care of me, and I expect Him to take care of you if you trust in Him, if you put your trust in Him and not in mammon and not in man's systems. And so we're going to turn here to Psalm 23, and I'm sure most of you know this by heart, but I want to just say it today to reassure you. I want to say it today so that you'll know that this is God's Word, that He trusts, that we can trust in Him, that we can believe in Him. And when God says something in His Word, we know it's true. When God says something in His Word, such as, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," that He will stand behind His Word, that His Word is faithful and true. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so with those reassuring words, with those comforting words, we know that God is going to be with us, that He is our shepherd, that Jesus is the good shepherd, and that He will guide us, He will direct us, and even times of peril that maybe America has never seen before, in times of great tribulation that America has never been plagued with before, that God will be with us, that Jesus is our shepherd, that He will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And our enemies, I'm sure, are saying, we see an opportunity to take America down. We see an opportunity to come in and strike at this weakened United States, and yet God says, "I will prepare a table before you in the presence of our enemies." And God isn't primarily concerned about nations. He tells us in many passages of Scripture in the Bible that He raises nations up and He allows nations to fall, and we see that in the history of the Old Testament. He raises nations up, He raises kings up, He lets kings fall. What He's primarily concerned with is your salvation, brothers and sisters. He's primarily concerned with whether you trust in Him, whether you trust in Him. And the only way that you can trust in Him is you have to lay aside your pride. You have to lay aside that which is important to you. You have to pick up the cross of Jesus Christ and carry it daily. You have to lay aside your pride and your plan. Whoever, Jesus said, "Whoever loses his life for my sake shall gain it." You have to lay aside those things that you think more of than God, and you have to say, "God, I want to exalt You in my life. I want to raise You up and place You first in my life, that You would be my all in all, that You would be everything to me." Verse 1 in Psalm 91, I'm going to close with this scripture to comfort you, to make you understand that God's will for you is to come into the shadow of His wings, that you will understand that God cares for you. He his desire ultimately is that none should perish. And everything that you see going on here with the stock market and natural catastrophes and the fires burning and hurricanes and earthquake and everything else, all of these things are meant to do just one thing, and that is usher us into God's kingdom. They're meant to usher us into God's kingdom. And when judgment falls on a nation, God says, I want you to fear me, and I want you to come in to my kingdom. Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Well, I'm going to close with that right there. Can you say today, God, I trust in you. God, it's in you that I trust. I trust in you more than I do my money. I trust in you more than I do my bank account, my retirement account, my IRA, my 401k, or whatever. Can you truthfully say that you trust in God more than you do anything else, that you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior? That's what he wants you to say today, brothers and sisters. And he will cover you with his wings. He will protect you. He knows your heart. He knows your heart this very day, and he wants to cover you with his wings. Lord, I just pray that each and every person hearing this program today will ask you into their heart that you would cover them with your wings, that you would keep them and protect them. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. God bless you today. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.